the slides there, please, just to show you a flavor of this. Next year we're planning on going with a little bit more organizing, and we'd have more men, and there's one or two extra men wanted to come, but it was unfortunate we weren't able to get them there. But that is that. What song are ye singing this morning? What song is in your heart? I want you to turn to Psalm 40. We'll start, and I'll be sticking this being my main theme for my whole talk, Psalm 40. And it starts out in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. These are the words of David, the future king of Israel, who has found himself in an inescapable dark place. Yet he went on to testify that the Lord, in the next verse, said, he set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He has put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God. And many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. We see that in verses 2 and 3. What David was essentially saying, my hope was sinking, and he lifted me out of this pit and put my feet on firm ground, and it came with a song. And this is not an audible song. It came, but a song of praise that is deeper than words, a song that originates from the whole being of somebody who's fully given to the ways of God. And verse 4 tells us, blessed is the one who trusts the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to lies. There are all kinds of voices around us, and the proud put their objectives and thoughts above the thoughts of God. But God can speak to those who trust in him. He can lift such a man or a woman out of a place of uncertainty and bring them into a place of stability. The next verse gets even better. As David says, many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you have planned for us, none can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they were too many to declare. What David is saying here is, God, you're thinking about things for each of your children. That includes all of ye. About the future, about the plans you have for each of us. And remember, the plans of God go beyond this world. They go way into eternity. There is no end to the thoughts of God towards us and the things that we're going to do, even in heaven, in unison with him. And David goes on in verse 6, says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Now, this is an important line. My ears you have opened. Are your ears open to the word of God? When you're reading the Bible, are you really reading the word of the Bible? In other words, what he's saying, you do not want me doing mechanical religious works. You don't want me to simply perform the same old rituals as you've been doing in the past. Instead, you have opened my ears. Verse 7 then says, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. You have opened my ears, yes. I have heard something from you. I have moved towards the sound of your voice. Verse 8, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. God took David out of this place of confusion, depression, and fear, and difficulty by opening his heart to the voice of the Lord. David did not try to figure it out for himself, nor did he form a league with the proud who resisted the ways of God. He did not gravitate to the lies about the past, the present, or the future. Instead, he said, God, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. Do not let me come to you just to have my agenda verified. I want to follow you. You and I are living in a similar situation today. It is imperative that we hear and follow the voice of God. These days, the Lord is calling his people into something incredible. He has a path of strength and stability before each of us, a path that carries a brand new song with it, a song of confidence. This generation needs to see and that path and hear that song again, as many are losing confidence. In this psalm, David is speaking of being stuck at a particular time in his spiritual journey. He described this place as a pit. In other words, it was wall before him, too high to climb. His feet felt as if he was in quicksand, and he was sinking deeper and deeper into this despair and depression. It reminds me of that song that we sing, you know, Reckless Love. When you look at the difficulties facing society today, it is obvious that they are causing a lot of people to feel that same way. And perhaps you're feeling that way too. We get stuck when things do not go the way we thought they would. We all have this tendency to form a picture in our minds about what our life would look like when we come to Christ. I'm sure David did so when Samuel walked into his house and poured a horn of oil on his head. He was saying, the Spirit of the Lord announced you to be the next king of Israel. See, this is in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. The Spirit of God came upon David, and he was able to go into a battle that even seasoned soldiers could not and would not fight. David defeated a fierce enemy, Goliath. We know that story. And he must have thought, it does not get any better than this. And he must have said, God, I am the man, you know. Yet suddenly, things took a negative turn, and David found himself being pursued by a king to whom he was loyal. He ultimately ended up in a cave with about 400 discontented, distressed, and indebted men gravitating to him, surrounded by an army that vastly outnumbered him. In his mind, he was probably stuck because things just did not seem to be going right. You and I can also get stuck when we think God can do no better in the future than he has done in the past. I remember reading about the Welsh revival that happened in 1904. A great revival took place there. Thousands of people came to know the Lord through the revival. Right, and to this day, there are people meeting in that same church praying that God would do it again. And down through the years, since 1904, there's weekly meetings going on there in that church, and they're saying, do it again, Lord, do it again. This is our constant prayer. They missed out on what God was doing through. They missed out on the Billy Graham years, the millions of people that Billy Graham, the Reinhard Bonnke years that he preached to millions of people in right throughout Africa. And his slogan was, Africa will be saved. And we thank God we got a lot of African people in the church now from South Africa right down up to Egypt. Now, through the works of evangelists like Reinhard Bonnke, yeah? You know, did this group of people, they mourn and they grieve and are waiting for God to do in that building what he did over 100 years ago. The point is, we can get stuck in the past and we lose sight of the future and the fact that God is thinking things about us and the church. He has a plan that's so much bigger than our thoughts. He's always on the move. He never stands still. I remember when we're back in 2004, 2005, when we started this church, people were saying to me, sure, can't you stay where you are? Can't you stay in the full gospel business pin? Isn't that enough? But I always felt God was moving us on, you know, and God moved us to the next step. And this was the next step at that time. And so as a result of that, here we are today. He's always on the move. We also get stuck when the future looks fearful. The present, though it might be dry, it is at least safer than what we perceive, what lies before us. We can think of the children of Israel taken out of captivity, led through the wilderness, brought right to the borders of the promised land, yet being fearful. And I'm sure a lot of them were thinking, at least we're safe here. Maybe it is a little dry, but the manna is still here. In that place where God wants the leaders, they are giants that look way bigger than us. They fail to realize that fear is one of the biggest giants of all. And so they choose to live in the wilderness experience. In contrast, the Lord did something for David that brought him to a new level of worship and produced in him a confidence in God that transmitted to others. And he said, he took me out of the miry clay and out of this horrible pit and out of this place where I was stuck. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my steps. God did not call me just to have me stand in one place. No, he laid out a pathway before me. He said, this is where I am taking you. This is what I want you to do. And this is how my name is going to be glorified. Remember, it was David's future to be king of Israel. But not only that, but in his actual physical line was his DNA of the man of Jesus Christ, who would be born into this world and redeem mankind through his lineage. My point is the plan of God is much bigger than you and I can understand. The only way we can ever begin to lay hold of it is if we allow God to lift us and say, as David did, my ears you have opened. You have put my heart at delight to do your will. Even when it looks fearful, even when I do not understand, even when you're leading me into an unfamiliar place, God, I will delight in you because I know you're thinking something about me that I may not have considered. Look at the verse 5 again. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. Your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order if I would declare and speak of them. They more than could be numbered. You know, if I was to give my testimony here today, we could be here till tomorrow because God has done so many things for us as a church. There's so many. In that booklet that we produced, the Book of Testimonies, you can see various people, what God has done in their lives. Absolutely brilliant book. I'd encourage you to get a copy of it. You know, God is always moving. He's moving on different people at different times and he doesn't stand still for any one person. God is thinking something about this moment in history and it is time we ask him to help us think these thoughts along with him. I truly believe that the greatest days of the church are just ahead of us. So I ask you today, are you going to stay stuck in the past because the future looks fearful, and at least in the present you have a sense of security? Or are you willing to do things God's way, believing that he's going to put a new song in you and cause you to be part of this amazing end time harvest that's going to come? Remember, you do not get this song by sitting in a pit and sinking further into quicksand. You get it by opening your hearts to the voice of God. You get it by coming before the Lord and saying, God, wherever that kind of song comes from, I want it. I am tired of singing the song I am singing down in this pit. I am tired of my song being dictated to me by what I hear on the news or what proud people are speaking. I want that song that only comes from you. Don't be surprised if you start singing this song in the middle of the night or the first thing in the morning, because Psalm 42 verse 8 says, by day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer for my life. Let God set before you the pathway he has intended for your life. Amen. I think that I need to call, do an altar call this morning and ask ye, what's your intention? You get it by opening your heart to the voice of God. You get it before coming to the Lord and say, God, whatever that kind of song comes from, I want it. So I open the altar to people. If that song, if you want that song, show God that you want it by coming forward. And we leave God do the rest. Not Pastor Jerry, not Pastor Siva, not anyone else or Herod, but God. Are you tired being dictated to? I, for one, only want a song that comes from God. Thank you, thank you.